Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with your host, executive editor of Newsbusters, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome. On this Wednesday, the world is warming up to the forthcoming Elon Musk Twitter Spaces interview with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who is expected to announce his presidential bid. Well, it kind of already happened. He filed at the Federal Elections Commission today. Joining us today on the podcast is Newsbusters Associate Editor Nick Fondacaro.
Howdy, guys.
Yes, fresh from Binghamton. No, you haven't been to Binghamton recently.
Not in years.
Yes, but that was the college, right?
Yes.
Nick went to obscure state school in the upper United States, just like me.
And Sunny Hostin.
She go to Binghamton?
Yes, she did.
Oh.
And Hakeem Jeffries.
It may be the only thing you have in common.
She also plays D&D, apparently.
Oh.
Or at least did when she was in college.
Weird. Okay. I had no idea.
I know.
So in the lead up to this interview with Elon tonight, there's just been a pile of weirdness about how somehow DeSantis is already beholden to Elon or whatever. On Morning Joe, Charlie Sykes was saying that, yeah, he bent a knee to the tech oligarch with, and he really trashed Elon as a nut, a narcissistic megalomaniac. He said this on Morning Joe, you know, and obviously we can all remember, Morning Joe loved Trump. So who's attaching themselves to narcissistic megalomaniacs? Anyway.
Oh, exactly.
So, I mean, but just to try to say that DeSantis, just by accepting this chat, is being beholden to Musk is weird. I mean, that's like, so if DeSantis announced on Fox, would that mean he was bowing to Rupert Murdoch?
Is Trump beholden to CNN because they did the town hall?
Exactly. I mean, it's just DeSantis accepting an interview request. He just chose this one. I think it was a bit of an anti-media message.
Exactly, especially when you're not going to one of the major news sources because you had Tim Scott announce his presidential run earlier this week and then did an interview with NBC.
Right. That's the more traditional way you would go about it. But exactly. He's basically saying, hey, it's a new media landscape. I don't know why you would somehow suggest that was a bad idea in a Republican primary. I don't think that's the case. Nick has been looking at the DeSantis phenomenon in several different media environments we'll talk about today. Let's just start here. The weirdly named CBS Mornings, they should just call it King DeCopel, or
yeah.
Or it's the Gayle King Show. She is the queen.
She's the queen bee over there.
She gets to run everything.
Including kicking other reportedly, rumors has it that she was the reason why Norah O'Donnell got booted.
She got kicked upstairs.
Yeah.
Well, you can't be that upset about that, you know, but... Yes, we're living up to stereotypes. The two women couldn't get along. It was a cat fight, and so someone had to go. So she surrounded herself with younger men. And, we've sort of had that sense when we watch that show with, like, Nate Burleson. It's like, are you a cougar? Anyway, Gayle King, they were discussing the what we've called the stunt travel alert from the NAACP in a big report from Mark Strassman, and as you reported, Gayle King started talking about her sisters. I keep thinking about the black people that live there. I actually have two sisters that live in Florida. What this means for people who live there or people of color who are planning to go to Florida. Well, now this raises the actual question, Nick. If her sisters are living there, how bad can it be?
Exactly, and I believe I was seeing reports that the chairman for the NAACP lives in Tampa.
Right, and this is where, this is such a stunt. The idea that somehow, I mean, obviously everybody on Twitter is like, try Chicago.
Exactly, and the media is literally treating this like it's the State Department being like, do not travel to this hot zone. Don't travel to Sudan because there's a civil war going on. Like they're literally treating it with the weight of a State Department warning.
Yeah, like you're in danger. And obviously what they're basically saying, it's one thing to say, don't travel to Florida because the Republicans are in charge. Because that's basically what it is.
You're going to start seeing stuff like this probably come from like either the Brady campaign or the Giffords group. And just being like any state with open with a constitutional carry is going to be like, or what they would declare as loose gun laws. And be like, don't go here, travel advisory, you're going to get killed.
In fact, the Equality Florida travel alert explicitly mentions the constitutional carry. Mm-hmm. And it was like, that was kind of a weird flex, since they seem to like it when the gays and the transgenders go to the gun range. That's like a positive, but I don't know. So the Human Rights Campaign, I guess, saw that Equality Florida got in. They also now have issued a travel advisory for Florida.
King also promoted the one from the United... The League of United Latin American Citizens.
LULAC.
Yeah, so somebody like Tony DeCoppo later told him he got the majority of the Latino vote in Florida.
And he got an increased share of the black vote.
Yeah.
These are the things they don't really want to focus on. You know, what are they going to say? If you Latin American citizens, if you travel to Florida, you might get deported to Martha's Vineyard. I don't... What's the threat?
Exactly. And even Tony DeCoppo, like he was like, he threw just cold, like he did like the I don't know if people remember like the ice bucket challenge back in the day. For the CLS, you throw the bucket of ice water on herself. He threw in a bucket of ice water on her rhetorically.
Not physically. That would be a That would be a heck of a video.
I always feel like I need to put that in my blogs, or people think like he literally beat her over the head, like.
He threw ice water on her hair and ruined everything.
He pulled it out from under the desk.
And then and then the makeup started to run.
Yeah, because he pointed out, he pointed that the NAACP said, quote, democracy will prevail. And then he points out, he's like, democracy is prevailing in Florida. The state legislature passed this law. The governor signed them. That's the process.
Yeah.
And he goes on the point, he's like, they just had an election. And it's like, if they don't like it, they can vote him out next term, like next time around.
Yeah. What?
Well, actually, he can't run again. So in Florida right now. So basically, he's out, and then they can install a Democrat later. Like,
yeah, you sort of have to wonder what got into Tony DeCoppo. Doesn't he know that everybody is supposed to bow and to kneel to what Gail says? I mean, he's exactly right, which is Florida right now, like a lot of states that the liberals hate, has a Republican majority and a Republican governor. They're doing what they want, and that's why the liberals want to claim it's dangerous.
Yeah, he probably didn't like that. Not just to be speculating, like that she made it like so personal, and like she was getting so hysterical over it, because she's just like, it is truly concerning. Like at any moment, there's just going to be like a race war in Florida.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously there is crime in Florida, just like there is crime in D.C., there's crime in Chicago. So, you know, you would certainly say, I'm sure there are neighborhoods in Florida you wouldn't want to send a tourist into. But just the whole idea of sort of blockade the whole state. All right. But, of course, Nick is the person here who jumps on the grenade daily and watches The View. And so what was the take today on the forthcoming DeSantis announcement?
Yeah, you had Whoopi Goldberg, who just was commenting on Casey DeSantis. She put out the teaser campaign ad last night of Ron basically walking up the back of a stage, getting ready to step out on to basically like a rhetorical campaign stage to go out there and stump. And she claimed it was a body double. She goes, that could have been anybody, because I guess it's sort of like his silhouette, though you can still see his features. She's just like, oh, that could have been anybody. That could have been me in a DeSantis wig. It's like, you're kind of twice the size of DeSantis.
It's the definition. It's the definition of nitpicking. Like, I think that might not be the governor. It's like, does it matter? It's an advertisement.
Whoopi's burnt is to use some of the pot smoker phrases.
Well, I was going to say, it's obviously not Whoopi because she doesn't have hair like Ron DeSantis. I think that would be. Mm-hmm. If Casey DeSantis was coming up behind Whoopi Goldberg, I think we'd figure it out from the silhouette.
Yeah. And basically, she also went on to boldly call him a racist, because she asked him, he's like, she didn't like that he's also going to be taking questions during the Twitter town hall. She wants him to be asked, questions by real Americans, like he's taking questions from bots or something, even though she clearly doesn't know how Twitter spaces work, where it's like they call people up on the stage and you use your voice and you speak and you ask questions and they have moderators and stuff like that.
Well, we know they hated the CNN town hall with Trump, so it's sort of more of the same. Let me ask you a rhetorical question, Nick.
Yeah.
Do you remember the ladies at The View being upset that when Joe Biden announced his re-election campaign by taking questions from precisely no one, they thought that was upsetting?
Exactly. And especially when they were like curated by his campaign like ahead of time and like fed to him while he's in his basement. Joy was having a conniption too, because she thought he was going to run the campaign on Twitter. Like that was how he was going to do all his media, like all of his engagement hits. And it was so weird because it's like they had to like repeatedly tell her it's just the announcement is going to be on Twitter.
And it's for like an hour and then he'll go somewhere else.
And which that was a whole nother thing, because they were like, wait, we're going to have to hear from him again. Like, oh, people campaign. They make multiple stops. It's like this new thing to them that suddenly DeSantis is doing it, and it's unfreaking precedented.
And of course, we all remember what the Biden campaign was, even in the fall of 2020. I mean, it was literally run from the basement, and on those rare occasions where he submitted himself for reporters' questions, they were all Andrea Mitchell, the Mike Memolies. I mean, he got the softest possible questions. And I don't imagine, we'll wait and see. Do we think that DeSantis is going to get all puffball questions?
Who knows? Like, I think he's willing to take probably some stricter questions, and ones like he'll probably also respect the more critical questions when they're not coming from the media, you know, because he knows that the when the media ask him certain questions, they're doing it for sound bites, like the 60 Minutes interview and like the question with that with Stahl about what like his pay to play stuff with that and all of like that deceptive editing.
Well, there could be an Alex Brusewitz bro in there somewhere in the questioners, true. You know.
Mm-hmm.
This one of the other I started laughing the other day because one of these guys called Chip Roy, Chip Soy.
Oh boy.
Like, is that the game you people have on Twitter? Yeah. So I mean, I think it will be interesting and we'll see. But obviously we would say Ron DeSantis is taking more of a risk just taking open questions than Joe Biden did for most of the last campaign. I mean, taking questions from the liberal media isn't exactly risky as compared to a town hall.
Yeah. And The View didn't have this sort of pearl clutched like shock of like, he's going to run it from Twitter. It's like Joe was running it from his campaign website in his basement. Like that's like so much worse.
Yeah. And then, well, this is our natural standard, which is Joe can do whatever he wants because he's in the right party on the right side of history.
He's fighting for the soul of America.
Oh, geez. Ugh. And then, of course, earlier in the week, multiple days, The View trashing Senator Tim Scott because, well, they really hate black conservatives. Sonny Hostile. Mm-hmm. I mean, she gets very upset. This one got me. She said, I don't know who his message supposed to resonate with, actually. He's talking about victimhood and personal responsibility as if people aren't taking responsibility for their own actions. And then Whoopi Goldberg echoed like Ed McMahon. He came out and did that dog whistle, victimhood. So here again with the dog whistle.
It's really rich for Sonny to talk about, like, oh, he's talking about victimhood, like talking about being a dog whistle. And she's the one who is constantly demanding reparations, even though she's a multimillionaire. Like, her entire claim to fame and just sort of shtick on The View is the victimhood politics.
Well, obviously, we've had this discussion in recent weeks around the death on the subway, where she was furious that, you know, what you should have done is when there's a maniacal black man threatening you who has a record of like punching old women in the face, you're supposed to give him $20 and say thank you.
I would have helped him. I would have given him food. Sonny, you weren't in the situation, and two, you wouldn't have been. Like, one, that's a total BS that you would help. You would move to the next car or get out, move. Like you would have left. And not to mention, you just wouldn't have been on the subway. Your driver would have driven you.
Exactly. I mean, this woman, that would have been the natural question. Dear Sonny, when's the last time you were on the subway?
Mrs. The same person who brags about, oh, I haven't been to a grocery store in 3 years because I use Instacart. And ever since the pandemic, I haven't been to a grocery store.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, my question for her would be, when's the last time you wore a repeat outfit? You know, I mean, so this was the other part that got me, Nick, is she basically suggested to Tim Scott that it's rare to be a successful black man. She said he is the exception and not the rule. And until he is the rule, he can stop talking about systemic racism. You can either agree that we have systemic racism or you can shut up.
Again, a table with her and Whoopi Goldberg, multimillionaire people who made it.
Yeah, well, I mean, but I just think there are many successful black men. Some of them are rich, like Sonny Hostin.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are just successfully middle class. But to try to suggest that a successful black man is the exception ought to be something that if we had an actual conservative on that show.
Oh, yeah, Alyssa didn't do jack squat.
Again.
She's literally like the most, she's literally just like people say an empty suit. She's an empty dress. Just like she might as well not be there because like Anna Navarro gets them the spicy anti-Republican stuff that they want.
Right. And then Whoopi Goldberg dropped the bomb. Tim Scott has got Clarence Thomas syndrome.
Like it's a mental problem.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what she's suggesting.
Exactly.
It should go in the diagnostic manual for mental health disorders.
Yeah.
But it's the same idea, and that is, oh, I mean, we used to see this from Tiffany Cross. He's a token, you know, kissing up to the white people. That's his whole strategy. Basically, he's a race traitor. I mean, we're kind of used to that, but it's like you just want to say to a Whoopi Goldberg, Clarence Thomas is 27 times as smart as you are. You know, the idea that somehow he has a mental health issue and you don't.
Oh, exactly.
It's
with Sonny too. It's the same sort of point that I'm used to make with Chris Cuomo. It's like, yeah, you used to be a lawyer, federal. In Sonny's case, a federal prosecutor. You haven't done that in years. Why is that? If you were really successful at it and had a really good career, you'd still be doing it.
Well,
you'd run one of the Southern District of New York or something because she praises it so much. You'd be running it.
I guess television has got its lure. I mean, you know, she came into it, I guess, wasn't it Court TV first and then CNN, but as a legal commentator.
I think it might have been Court TV and then Fox because I know she was.
Oh,
she,
yeah.
Yeah, because she used to be on with Bill O'Reilly and she used to debate Megyn Kelly and she actually claimed she bested Megyn Kelly.
Okay. Whatever you say. Yes, the new person on that block is Laura Jarrett.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my wife's got the Today Show on, and she watches some NBC Nightly News. There is a lot of Laura Jarrett on TV.
Oh, yeah.
She's up there. She's there on the Trump got indicted, but she's also there with just about every legal matter that's going on, the murders in Idaho.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we have this idea once again that people like Whoopi and Joy can't stand the idea that somebody is optimistic about opportunities for blacks in America.
Mm-hmm.
They say, well, how dare you? Nobody's suggesting victimhood. Well, you're suggesting that success is an exceptional, rare thing. So how are you saying that blacks aren't the victims? So let's do this other thing. We discovered today, or I discovered again today, CNN is doing a town hall now with Nikki Haley here on June 4, which is you said Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday.
Relegated to a time where nobody's going to be watching.
So I found, about this time in 2019, they did a Sunday night town hall with an Eric Swalwell hour, a Seth Moulton hour, a Tim Ryan hour. So this is where they're trying to tell us Nikki Haley belongs. She's
like the early washouts.
There's no way she's got a chance. And so, but look, at least they're actually putting the Republicans on. I have said, including on this podcast, oh, watch them. They're not going to put the other Republicans on. So shut my mouth. Mm-hmm. So the host here is Jake Tapper. So at least there's a male host this time. We all know how The View felt about Caitlin Collins.
Oh, yeah. That was like some of the most like weirdly sexist comments ever. They're like, her voice is too low. He just talks over her. And they're like, Jake Tapper would have done a better job. So it's like, the View is saying the man would have done better. It's like, guys, you. And again, this is like, who the H-E double hockey sticks do you guys think you are? Like,
right.
You guys are just like some daytime talk show. It's like, yeah, you guys are like the most highest rated. But you guys aren't serious journalists. These are people with careers like following politicians and know what to say. It's... there was also this weird ageism coming from Sonny, who's always like, America doesn't respect its elders. It's like, you clearly don't respect people younger than you.
Exactly. And so obviously, yes, you could say, how different would it have been if Sonny Hostin was the interviewer of Trump? And I think you probably, the sound of it would have been likely the same. She would have been trying to challenge him. He'd be talking over her and you'd get pretty much the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, she might think that her interruptions sound smarter, but it's you're probably going to get the same thing. I mean,
it would probably end up a lot louder because Sonny would just straight up shriek.
So I'm sure that Nikki Haley won't do a lot of interrupting of Jake Tapper. She's much more the conventional Republican candidate. Mm-hmm. She'll wait for the question. She'll give her answer and then she'll conclude. But our first question was, ooh, Jake Tapper, what did he do some of these town halls in the 2019 area? And you found, yes, we remembered that you were the master of the CNN town hall. Jake Tapper did a town hall with Kamala Harris in January and a town hall with Elizabeth Warren in March of 2019. We're going to be looking those up. I mean, obviously you blogged them at the time, but mm-hmm. I think I might almost want to check the video out again, but, here's what you noted on Elizabeth Warren. There were 31 total questions asked. So that's a
hearty amount of questions.
That's gotta be longer than an hour.
I think they were running back then maybe 75 to 90 minutes.
What happens, right? 22 of the 31 questions were from the audience. Only 3 of the questions out of 31 were we identified as from the right. None of them from Jake Tapper. And only one of the 31 questions would be considered critical. Now, I think that Nikki Haley is not going to go in there and think, I'm going to get 30 questions and none of them or one of them is going to be critical. And this is what we saw in 2019. As you recall, I mean, it was like a Democrat precinct meeting.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
We all agree on most things.
Like, and again, like, so a lot of these questions are also coming from the left because it's the Democratic primary and they're going to have the Democratic Party in here and to be like we want to hear from or actually in this case, back then it was they want to hear that one of their candidates and ask them questions from their side. But you're also going to see, like, we saw this with the Trump town hall where they were freaking out, particularly like on The View and stuff and other shows where it's like there were too many Trump supporters. There were too many Republicans in the Republican primary town hall.
Right. And that's what they forgot. And we all certainly remembered that is that the Democrat town halls were a pile of Democrats asking Democrat questions. And most of them were from the left. And it was sort of like, have we banned guns yet?
Yeah, and then that's the thing. It's because they'll do the primary stuff, and then the presidential election come along. They'll do the debates where they'll likely have, once the general happens, like they'll have the debates where they might even take some viewer questions because we've seen that a couple times.
They usually they've often had one town hall debate, and we do the same thing, and that is they had 11 questions from citizens, and it was 8-3. You know, I mean, that's... Generally, there's always a pro-Democrat tilt, which is why I like to put town hall in quotes because these are carefully screened questions.
Yeah, because I also remember back in the day, too, I think it was 26. It might have been, I forget if it was 16 or 19, but there was the whole controversy of CNN rewriting people's questions and giving it to them.
Mm-hmm.
There was that whole controversy.
Right.
It was the father and son, I believe.
Well, and then we had, I don't know if this was the town hall, but there was the one controversy that Donna Brazile was leaking questions to Hillary Clinton.
Yep.
All right. So we have this from your blog about Elizabeth Warren. The critical question was from a lawyer and Army Reserve officer who said to Warren, how do you respond to people who think that regardless of the underlying facts, the way you handled the question of your Native American heritage was tone-deaf, offensive, and indicative of a lack of presidential tact? Now, this is where I see the CNN edit. Regardless of the underlying facts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you mean regardless of the underlying facts? The way you handled the question of your Native American heritage. No, she didn't have Native American heritage. What's the point? Mm-hmm. How you handled the fakery.
Especially like gene testing back then, because like I've done 23andMe and I did that years and years ago. And every month, every year or so, like I'll sign back on and they refine the process more and more and they start weeding out stuff. Like I, like way back when I first signed up, they said I had like a little tiny like sub fraction of a fraction Native American, but then they sort of weeded that out as they realized like, oh, that's not a sign of Native Americans. That's a sign of something else.
Right.
And it like they would slowly sort of narrow down more as they gotten better at testing.
Well, I would have thought it was so like 99% Italian. What do you need? Why do you send your DNA in? Well, you never know. I mean, sometimes you
know. He's got a nice healthy portion of Portuguese and I think something like 5 or 6% like... Caucasian as in like the Middle Eastern sort of.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Caucasian as in from the Caucasus?
Yeah, like from the Caucasus.
All
yeah.
right. So here was the interesting part, as you noted, that they asked Warren about her fake Indian background. And she suggested, Elizabeth Warren, that she never received any career benefit from her claims of being a Cherokee Indian, which, of course, we all know is...
Absolutely not true.
False. Pants on fire. Yep. Tapper, no follow-up. And that's where we always laugh at these people when they're like, oh, you know, we just heard a pile of lies. You know, this is the way Tapper came out of the Trump town hall. Totally disgusted at all the lies. Well, as we see, when Tapper does a town hall and the Democrats lie, he just sits there like a potted plant. We'll go back to Nancy Pelosi, where she said, Neil Gorsuch is a bad Supreme Court pick if you eat food or breathe air. And Tapper's like, that's a parade of lies, you know?
Yeah, and you don't get, or like when he did the Parkland town hall with Rubio, and he literally lets the kid like call, like, say,
you look like the mass shooter.
Yeah, you look like the mass shooter. And then on Twitter, Jake Tapper gets this indignant. He's like, what was I supposed to do? Like stop a kid who's feeling emotions after a shooting? It's like that you're saying the quiet part out loud about why you wanted to hold this town hall is to let them just go off on Republicans and pro-gun people without you stepping in, because what was I supposed to do?
Right. And this was what was, they did announce this ahead of time. Tapper was very clear ahead of time, was that the Parkland town hall was going to be, we're going to let the people grieving express their grief with all sorts of liberal rage. And that was fine. And then of course, yeah, I mean, you had Emma Gonzalez get up there and say Dana Loesch is a terrible mother. And
where's the CNN town hall for the Coventry School?
Yeah,
right.
Well, I mean, it's not like it. They didn't have a Uvalde town hall, I don't think. If they did, it wasn't like everybody was going to stand up and say Biden sucks. You know, even if somebody had tried that, they probably would have. They wouldn't have said. They're grieving. They get to blame the Democrats. There's no way they would use that standard of the grieving person gets to unload their anger.
Yeah, I believe there was town halls, but I think it might have been just like the town itself holding a town hall for themselves where the people like vented at the police chief.
Let's face it, they had every right to vent at the police chief, but it is that idea that
which to tie it to the CNN one, they let the Broward County sheriff like get off scot-free at the CNN town hall.
Right. Now, as I recall, Tapper did come back around on that and gave him the Broward County sheriff a pretty tough interview afterwards. But this is where you get that whole notion of this was the corporate policy. Mm-hmm. You know, Tapper may not have liked it, but he cooperated with it, which was, yes, oh, we're going to let the Fred Gutenbergs get up and unload. And this is where you don't get to put out your facts first apples that we're all about facts. No, that night you were all about emotions.
Oh, exactly.
You were emotions first. And so much of what CNN
and
is.
And exploitative, like, yep. in the end, yeah.
Right, and that is, oh, the human pathos. Click, 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 ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching.
Yeah.
This is the cable news formula.
Well, and to just bring it back to the Elizabeth Warren stuff, because like you had all these sort of like, those the one softball question about her claims of Native American heritage, and then the massaged question, are they going to give Nikki Haley the opportunity to slap down like the real racists when they talk about, oh, you took a white name to appear white, even though her legal birth name is Nikki?
It's Nimrata Nikki. Nikki's her middle name.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, oh, I changed it. Like Paivush Jindal became Bobby.
Yeah.
You know, obviously there are sometimes reasons to do that. You know, here in my congressional district in Virginia, the Republican nominee was Hung Cao. Mm-hmm. And you could have asked him, did you think about Hank? Did you? Hung Cao, really? You're going to put that name on the ballot? Which is a terrible thing I say, apparently, because, you know, this is the given name that he had. But, you know, yes, when they nitpick stuff like that. The other thing we were talking about was they ended the Warren town hall by asking her generically about, how does your faith, you know, how do you live your faith, was Tapper's last question. We'll see if they go there mm-hmm. with Nikki Haley.
Any sort of just like lighthearted thing like that, yeah.
And he might go there a little bit, perhaps. But, you know, generally we're going to expect, if anything, the Trump town hall is going to cause Tapper to be tougher on Nikki Haley because of how he posed at the end of the Trump town hall. He's going to be tougher on her. We will wait and see. Before we go, we just have to say, I think since the last time we had Nick on the podcast, Aaron Rodgers finally signed on the line with the Jets. I saw this, mm-hmm, Nick. Mm-hmm. I saw this, Nick, on TV here in the kitchen. They were saying the top five quarterbacks who are really expected to perform this year. And it was like number two, Aaron Rodgers, number three, Jordan Love. So they're both going to be under the gun, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, one of the things that I really liked about the sort of like give and take, or like what we're seeing coming out of like either the Jets training camp or pre-Jets training camp, was you had Zach Wilson saying he was going to give Aaron Rodgers a hard time. It's like, dude, no, you're not.
Well,
Aaron Rodgers came out and made like this awesome quote where it was just like, oh, he can give me a hard time during the training camp. I'm going to give him an easy time during the season.
It's like, well, look, we know from football that you need at least two plausible starters because people get injured. So, yes, I mean, it's tough if you're Zach Wilson, like, uh-oh, I'm not going to get to play much this year.
Exactly.
But on the other hand, he's going to get a heck of a learning experience mm-hmm. if Aaron just stays there a year or something before he goes to the Vikings. No.
And it's like the other thing, too, is like for him, it's just like, of course, he's going to get the job because they also cemented it by getting Daniel Cobb or
Randall Cobb.
Randall Cobb to for him to throw to as well. So it's
yeah,
like,
and they had signed Lazard before that. So yes, Rodgers has two of his Packers receivers already on the team.
Oh yeah.
So yes, not that and all the money. Oh, as you remind, there was 2 days of Tim Scott bashing on The View. Mm-hmm. This one was popular. Curtis said to me, we're at the Nationals game last night, and Nick's just sitting in the stands looking at his video blowing up.
Yeah, so you guys have probably seen it. It's almost at 3 million views on Twitter. So basically, you had Joy Behar claiming, Joy Behar, white woman Joy Behar, as white, well, you know, not as the fresh-driven snow, but you know what I mean, and claiming that Clarence Thomas and Tim Scott don't know what it's like to be black in America because of like what we were talking about before, that they believe in like you're able to be successful as a black man in America. And she just cries that the type of pull yourself up by the bootstraps, and like they don't understand systemic racism in the country. She doesn't, like, she's been completely dragged on Twitter. She did not talk about it today because this happened yesterday. She did not talk about it today, but you know what she did do? She came out dressed in all black.
Subtly
dressed in all black.
Well, she
would know perfectly well what it's like to be black in America because she wore blackface one time.
That was the best. People, you got on that. Other people jumped on that.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Black Like Me by Joy Behar.
Yeah.
Now, as we know, back in the olden days in America, Joy's Italian. I think people always forget this.
Yes, they one of the comments that I kept seeing on this was that she's Jewish. She is not, like, she has the Behar name from, I believe, her first husband.
Correct. But yeah. Also, but she just, people then just think the way she is that she's got the New York accent,
yep,
and she's got all the snarky. They just always presume that. What I was trying to get to was, is it used to be in America that to be Italian or Polish or whatever somehow wasn't, yeah, Anglo-Saxon, waspy.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. But yes,
absolutely.
In modern America, mm-hmm, that is not the way it is. So, yes, it used to be...
Even the Irish, yeah.
Right. Systemic racism was all over the place back at that time. So it is something that we will continue to watch. I think one of the things Nick knows is there will be no reform at The View. It will never become a sensible program. We could only hope. We never thought when Meghan McCain was named that we were going to miss her like we miss her.
Oh, yeah.
Just the whole idea that a Bernie Sanders or an AOC would have to worry about what Meghan McCain was going to ask, mm-hmm, that's utterly lacking now. It's like, you know, you don't even have the hope that Alyssa's going to ask a challenging question to a Democrat.
She'll say something that's like not on topic with what you would want her to ask, or she'll phrase it in a way of, they say this, what say you?
Right. Which is at least raising what Republicans say,
but
it's open-ended. It's an easier thing to answer.
That she props up the straw man and asks her to knock it down.
Well, let me finish with this. Now, you see Alyssa when she goes on CNN. I mean, it seems to me like she's a little bit more like, I'm going to pose as a Republican when she's on CNN. She tries not to do that very much on The View. Like, oh, goody, you know, Trump might not be winning. Sounds like explains like she's a Republican strategist, which of course we find extremely annoying.
Yeah, especially when she's like when she's like pushing Chris Sununu. And then,
oh yeah,
yeah, and then yesterday she's just like, well, Trump's outpacing everybody. It's like, well, yeah, well, your guy ain't even in the race.
Chris Sununu is no John Sununu. Yeah, I mean, they are looking desperately for the John Huntsman of this race. You know, they wanted Larry Hogan to get in, even though that candidate always has zero shot. Mm-hmm. But they just love the idea that somebody might get up on the debate stage and say something, you know, like if Joe Manchin ran in the primaries or Kyrsten Sinema ran in the primaries against Biden. Of course, yeah, we're at a place now where they're not going to allow any stinking debates.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause what would Biden do?
Exactly.
Too much risk. All right. So when you want to find out, you don't want to watch The View. You just want a summary. You're going to come to Nick Fondacaro to get the lowdown. That's what we do here. We spend our time watching stuff you wouldn't want to watch, and we give you the summary. Maybe it's a little video, got a little transcript.
I boil down all the crazy into just one really nasty hit for you.
Is it digestible? Well,
it might need a metal spoon and a syringe.
No more Hunter Biden references. All right, so you come to Newsbusters when you need the lowdown on media bias. Come to us once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for listening.